This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
That hurricane parts of Jacksonville. However, out at a pier, Florida really escaped what could have been just disastrous for them. Dorian now taking aim in another direction. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Tampa, Florida. Tampa was one of those places a week ago that they were talking about that could certainly get the storm surge, but it did not happen as the storm changed. The hurricane changed a lot in between that time. The Carolinas now are squarely in the middle of this thing, and there has been, you know, federal emergencies declared for the Carolinas and for Georgia and for, the southeastern coastal areas, basically, of the United States, because you look at what has happened in the Bahamas, and there is no great way to describe it. 5,500 people are unaccounted for. 20 people officially confirmed dead. So the federal emergency declarations that were approved were for Florida, too, but Georgia and South and North Carolina. That makes sense if you look at where things have turned. A Cat 3 is not good. A triple threat is never a good thing to say when you're talking about a storm. And it was so ugly there and so scary and such a foreboding sort of thing to see as you wait restlessly to see what's going to happen as it gets closer and closer to the United States. That was pretty much the waiting game the other day. Now, here we are, but it's a question of how badly is this damage going to be. And then speaking of here we are, the president got into the thick of this thing with a Sharpie, somebody with a Sharpie, that marked one of the documents, you know, really the map, frankly, that he was showing as to the storm when he was talking in the Oval Office, showing that the Hurricane Dorian. And it looked like the White House was trying to retroactively justify a tweet that the president issued over the weekend where he warned erroneously that Alabama would be affected by Hurricane Dorian. And you know how much time was spent talking about this? Everywhere I turned today when I was flipping something on, Alabama's not in the middle of this whole thing. So the White House had this video released on Wednesday that displayed a modified National Hurricane Center cone of uncertainty forecast that was dated from 11 a.m. on August 29th, and it indicated that Alabama would be affected. The graphic looked like it was altered with a Sharpie to show a risk that the storm would move into Alabama from Florida. And the president said he displayed the graphic from August 29th, which added the appendage extending the cone into Alabama. And the president said that was the original chart. It could have been what it was going toward the Gulf. That's what he explained in the video. Well, here's the upshot of it. Alabama, you're not in the middle of this, you know that. And the National Weather Service in Birmingham released a tweet, sent out a tweet, Alabama in giant letters will not see any impacts from Dorian, hashtag. We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane Dorian will be felt across Alabama. The system will remain too far east. Much to the detriment of another group of people in the Carolinas, as it still is a major hurricane with the strength and the Cat 3 is not good. Like I said, when you say Cat 3, it's pretty darn strong. And the triple threat is winds, flooding rains, and life-threatening storm surges. Those surges are what are so deadly. And when you get the high winds and combine it with that, and you look at the course of the hurricane now, with tropical force winds over much of the Georgia and Southern Carolina coast, it's pretty nasty stuff. I mean, this can really, really kick up. You know, with Jacksonville, Florida, felt some of that with the outer rain bands. They got heavy rains and they did get strong winds. They did dodge what could have been a much worse situation, luckily for them. But there were, in Northeast Florida, there was some storm surge. There, you can't say that it was totally dry because it certainly wasn't. The concern in South Carolina is if you get 3 inches per hour, that's flash flooding, baby. And in Charleston, that spells disaster if they get that much rain in that short amount of time, because you know the story, it's lowlands. And just like New Orleans, when you're low like that, no matter what has been built up around it, there's only so much that can do. Just so much. And then you're stuck fighting with the sandbags, trying to get help from the neighbors, you know. And you look at the Bahamas, 70% underwater. 70% underwater. Wow. That's crazy. That is an incredibly high number of people or island space that has been stuck, and people, and I wonder why, that have been lost, because how do you fight that? Especially with the wind. How do you fight that? And evacuating on an island is not such an easy proposition compared to being on land and having a place to go. And that's why there were so many threats about, we're evacuating, evacuate. And I think they, I don't know that everybody evacuated, but it seemed like there certainly were a lot of takers. Let's put it that way. I'm excited at the tail end of the show when I take you into Author's Corner to introduce you to a 90-something gentleman who has an interesting story that he wanted to share with the world. And his story is some of the travels that he's done and the people he's met along the way, from flying a plane, piloting a plane in World War II, to being in charge of a rubber plant and having to fill jobs on that rubber plant. But I think it would be interesting to see what that was like. And his life, like many of us, has taken a bunch of twists and turns in different directions. So that's coming up at the tail end of the hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk about numbers, another version of We Can Count. We Can Count. What was it that made YouTube fine somebody $170 million? We're going to tell you next.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientists scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Lots and lots of numbers. That's why we do this segment once in a while. We throw in we can count dealio. And I say we can count because can you count up to 148 million? Yeah, you heard me, 148 million. It's not the lottery. In fact, I can't tell you what the lottery is up to right now. It's whatever it is, I'm not going to win it, neither are you. But blocks of heroin worth more than that amount of money, $148 million, were found wrapped in towels and bathrobes in the UK's largest ever seizure. Ooh, somebody lost a whole bunch of money. And you should picture it, if it's laid out, it's these tightly wound bundles where I guess they thought whatever happened, that it was safe, but it certainly is not. If they were able to uncover that, that's a pretty big heist. In fact, biggest bust ever for the UK. And the fact that they were wrapped up the way they were, the disguise didn't work. So that's a whole lot of heroin, right? Something terribly went wrong with their delivery system there, which I think, for one, is a very, very good thing that happened. We're talking about 170-mile-an-hour winds, possibly even 195, a little bit higher than that. It just depends on what this Hurricane Dorian decides she wants to do. It is certainly intensified as it goes up the southeastern coastline, Charleston, South Carolina. they were looking at this storm only 100-some miles out, moving very slowly, though, 7 miles an hour, so there still is some time there. You get a lot of flooding in that Charleston area already. I am certain there were people out that were doing the sandbag thing, that they're concerned about their fortunes with Dorian, with the winds that have crept back up, and the impacts for the Carolinas that could be incredibly dangerous, especially Charleston. I think Charleston, if they can get through this, they'll breathe a sigh of relief, because it looks pretty harrowing to me. It does. 97 stray dogs. What would you do with 97 stray dogs? There's a woman who did have that many dogs during Dorian. So I say high five to that. There's a fundraiser that went up for the woman to help this woman in the Bahamas as she sheltered that many dogs from the hurricane. And it's reached more than $65,000. Woohoo! Because she's going to need that. I mean, she wrote on Facebook, a Facebook post, it went viral, that there were those dogs inside her NASA house, which was barricaded against the Cat 5 storm that tore up the islands. Just saying that it's been insane with the things that have happened nonstop. And that many animals, good for her that she, you know, rescued them. And you see them, there's pictures of them, and just some of them just adorable, but just this whole group of dogs. And it's good to hear that instead of, you won't believe, besides people, and that's the big concern, what's happened in the Bahamas. I think that's a very, very big number. In fact, a huge number is what I'll say, picking up that many stray dogs. Atlanta's Fed paired the GDP to 1.7%. So what does that mean? That the U.S. economy is likely growing at a 1.7% annualized rate, and that is the third quarter view, saying that it's based on weaker construction, so, you know, housing industry, they look at those numbers, and it's pairing it the way they did. They look at that as obviously one of the big indicators. It was slower than the 2% pace that was estimated by the Atlanta Fed's GDP program at the tail end of August. Okay, so we're going to do a little experiment. Raise your hand if you want to be completely done with summer and just get me into fall. I have my special America Tonight Cagelini glasses, and I see a few hands going up. And how many would prefer it the other way? The slower pace, just like I just talked about with their Fed program. Slower pace. Definitely. Come on. That makes sense to me. I don't know about the rest of you. But as long as I can make sense of it, then there you go. Numbers, numbers, numbers. We can count. So what else did I see that I thought was pretty interesting? Twitter disabling the ability to tweet by text message. This was something that I think a lot of initial users did because of the amount of characters you were using and trying to be clever and, you know, who knows. But they did disable that ability to tweet by text, to tweet by text message. So that means they're re-racking the chairs again. And when the music stops playing, where will you be standing? Scary thought in one way, right? Yes. And I mentioned that I am in Tampa, and why am I in Tampa? I had a couple of people ask me that, because I'll mention again, I'm speaking for the Working Women State Conference 2019. Their theme is Your Season to Shine, and they have some amazing speakers, and I am thrilled that they picked me to be one of the main speakers and give a keynote. on Deal Your Own Destiny. So Deal Your Own Destiny is the book that you hear about, and that's what I'll be talking about. What were the lessons that I learned from interviewing so many of the people that I had a chance to interview that you would think might be unapproachable, who, by the way, are not, and you would think they would have answers, but they don't always have the answers, right? If they could only teach you that. I'm going to try to squeeze in another number. And like I say, it's mind-boggling how often the numbers game comes up in our lives. This is scary. An American woman was nabbed carrying a six-year-old in a carry-on bag. Ugh. Well, obviously the six-year-old was tiny, but what is making somebody do that in a carry-on bag? How do you get through TSA? There's my first question. How do you get through TSA, and how do you get through there being uneventful? And the answer is you don't. You don't have that happen. An American woman trying to fly out of the Philippines with a six-day-old baby inside her carry-on. The 43-year-old woman was found with the infant inside her suitcase. Yikes! So desperate to, you know, obviously to grab the child, and as I said, six-day-old infant. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. And she's trying to fly out of the Philippines that way, and they found the baby in the suitcase. I don't know what was the philosophy behind or the theory of this will work if I put the baby in the suitcase. I just don't understand that, thinking that nobody would spot that. And she was trying to board a flight into the U.S. around 6:20 in the morning. The baby was a Filipino baby. Baby was safe under Social Welfare Department's care, etc. The airport staff discovered the infant when they went through the carry-on luggage. They planned to charge her with child trafficking. Ooh, child trafficking.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Not good. All right, numbers, we're wrapping them up and we're pitching it to the other side. Wait till you meet this man. I could listen to his tales all day long. And he tells you why it's so important to write things down. Stay with us.
Dr. Dahlia here. As you know, blood banks across the country have declared critically low supplies, and every 2 seconds somebody needs blood. So in response to this, governors have united for National Blood Donation Week. September 2nd to 9th is National Blood Donation Week, with September 5th being National Blood Donation Day. And we're hoping this encourages millions of Americans to donate blood. When crisis strikes, the blood needs to be in the hospitals ready to go. But remember, the units need to be processed days before. And thousands of units of blood are already being used by hospitals on a regular daily basis. So blood supplies need to be prepared and delivered year-round. And with Hurricane Dorian, we need to sometimes send blood from areas that aren't in need to need. So if you can't donate blood, please host a drive or even spread the word. It all saves lives. You could sign up to donate blood or host a drive at drdahlia.com, drdahlia.com. Remember, one pint of blood can save 3 lives. Imagine what the whole country could do.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Top sustained winds have increased to over 100 miles per hour as Hurricane Dorian moves up the southeast coast. The storm is just south of Charleston, South Carolina. Heavy rain and tropical storm force winds are already hitting the Georgia and South Carolina coasts. Forecasters are saying the bulk of the storm will be over the Carolinas by Thursday morning. Part of the coast is safe.
We certainly got lucky in Florida.
President Trump, after being briefed on Dorian's track, which is taking it further up the coast.
Hurricane Dorian has its sights set on North Carolina.
With the potential for a foot or more of rain in some areas, Governor Roy Cooper is urging residents to get ready. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp says Dorian's effects are already being felt.
We are getting reports of downed trees already in Glenn and Wayne County.
This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to this part of the world in our author's corner, Philip Zeed. And he's written a book that really is interesting. It's one that, you know, when you look at it, you think, wow, I have things in my life. There's probably things I could share. So that's really what your book is about. Tell me why you wrote it.
Well, actually, I had all the information, factual information about my life on my computer. And one of my granddaughters saw this and said, you must publish it, you must publish it. So eventually I succumbed to her wishes and I published it. And when I got the book back, I realized it was just a matter of a whole list of facts and nothing else with no theme in it. So I put it all together in a different form and had a theme in it, which was that you never know what you do at any time, what happens in the world all over, big or small, can, without you knowing it, affect your whole life. And that was the second book, which is the one we're talking about. It's called You Can Never Tell.
Yes.
And I published it when I was 96, which is what I am now. So it's only been out for just under a year.
Wow. Wow. And again, so as Philip said, his book is called You Can Never Tell. It's an autobiography. I love
yes.
that your granddaughter was responsible for that. I can't believe you're 96. You sound fabulous. Not that you wouldn't sound great. And you talk
yes.
about unusual life experiences. Give us a taste of that. Tell us something unusual that happened to you.
Well, to start with, when I was at school, My parents thought I should wear glasses. I sort of needed them at about 14 years of age. So went to an optometrist who prescribed them for me. And against all my upbringing, I refused to wear them. And that was when I was 14. That allowed me to join the Air Force at the age of 18 and become a pilot during World War II. I served 6 years in the Burma campaign, and I could never have done that if I had worn glasses. Once you're in and you need glasses, I give them to you. And that changed my whole life because I was an academic. I was at university. And when I say became 18, I joined up. And the world, the whole of my life was so different that I became a completely different person. Now, that may sound strange. Now, here's another thing that happened. My brother and I, when we were about 12 or 14, took up radio as a hobby. I didn't know that at that time, 12 or 14 years of age, that that would lead me to my wife, which was one of the nicest persons I could ever wish for as a companion in my life and a lovely family. I went to Malaysia, and I'll explain that a little bit later, and hoping to get some money, go down to Australia and buy a farm. And when I'd finished, I ended up in debt. And that debt was about equivalent to 3 months' salary. Now, that would have normally been considered to be a dreadful thing. But in my case, it turned out to be wonderful. Because when I went to Australia, I had no money. I had $32 in my pocket. And I had to get a job. Now, if I wasn't in debt, I wouldn't have had to get a job. Because I had radio as a hobby when I was 14 years of age or 12 years of age, I got a job as a radio mechanic. And because I got a job as a radio mechanic, the boss's secretary became my future wife. And that's just so how things happened.
Oh, that's so perfect. And that makes sense with the title of your book. And you have lived an extraordinary life. You were also a pilot and a glider pilot in World War II. You were in Burma.
That's right.
What was that like?
Well, see, there again, I was in the Air Force. Now, something which would have really considered to have no effect on me at all was the Battle of Arnhem, which was a glider operation carried out by the glider regiment, Army Glider Regiment, and they lost nearly all their pilots. Well, it takes a long time to train a pilot, so the Army and the Air Force got together and said, look, we've got pilots already trained. It'll only take them a day or two to learn how to fly a glider. We can ask them to volunteer. So I volunteered and became a glider pilot. Now, if it hadn't been for the Battle of Arnhem, I wouldn't have been a glider pilot. And they put us over to Asia, and we fought in the Burma campaign there. I was in what's called the Combat Cargo Task Force, flying troops and equipment in to mostly over enemy lines and so forth. And now, how I got to Malaysia is another interesting thing. Because I served in Burma, I met a lot of tea planters up in Assam. So I thought, oh, it'd be lovely. When I go back, I'll get a job as a tea planter. So when I got back, the government gave me a course that I could take in tropical agriculture to qualify me for that. When I finished the course, the partition riots broke out in India. Now, well, the partition riots, for someone who was in England, had no effect at all. But in my case, I couldn't get a job because from that moment onwards, there were no jobs in India. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine who had a job offering, which he turned down in Malaysia as a rubber planter, said, I'll put your name forward. So he put my name forward, and that's how I became a rubber planter in Malaysia. I never even thought of going there at all. I ended up there because of the partition riots in India. So you can never tell what happens somewhere in the world is going to affect you.
Yes, that's what, and as I said, that's why the title of your book is so apropos. We're speaking with Philip Zeed, and we're talking about his book, You Can Never Tell, which you can get on Amazon. Fascinating life. And the planting thing, going from, as you said, the partition riots and what happened there, to ultimately, if you fast forward, the fact that your unusual life put you in a situation where sheep were involved, and once again, you found yourself in the business of you know, a sheep and a wheat farm. So you're good at this, huh?
Yeah, see, well, when I arrived in Malaysia, the emergency broke out. The emergency lasted for 10 years. And it, of course, called the emergency because it was under police rather than military. So all insurance and everything remained the same. And for 10 years, seven of which were with my family, we were in areas where it was very dangerous. Bungalow was soft shot up. And here's another coincidence which was wonderful. My wife was expecting her second child, and we always had to go everywhere in an armored car. The assistant on the estate I was on was going on leave and had to go to the British military hospital 20 miles away to get inoculation and vaccination for their trip. And you only have one armored car. So I didn't know it, but they went off. And then my wife said, I'm expecting my second child, Margaret. And so he rushed down, and the armored car had already left. So I said, oh, this is dreadful. We've got to go in our own car. Well, fortunately, we did, because on the way to the hospital, we found the armored car had been ambushed and gone into a ditch. And if my wife, in her condition, had been in that armored car and gone into the ditch like that, we might have lost the baby. As it was, my assistant and his wife and child, they came with us. We drove them to the hospital, and my wife had the baby that evening. So there again, if it hadn't been for the missing the armored car, we might have lost our little baby.
Wow. And, you know, you've lived in a lot of different places, Liberia,
yes.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Sydney, Australia. Do you have a favorite place?
I like it, Malaysia and Indonesia. Very nice. I got on very well. I speak fluent Indonesian. Actually, I spoke fluent Tamil as well, because all the workers on the estate were Tamil and I didn't speak any English or Malay. So I had Malay and Tamil. And during the war, because I was in Southeast Asia with a lot of Indian troops, I learned a smattering of Hindustani. And while I was at school, we traveled all over Europe as a family. I could speak German and French.
Mm.
And so that's that was very useful. Now, the other interesting thing was, this again, I went to Liberia to see, which is West Africa, to see if we could take over some property there, very large areas to plant rubber. And I was one of the very few people that used to stop and pick up African workers who were walking from their estate to their camp. And they realized this was very nice of me to do this. I just stopped, say, you're going to so-and-so. Oh, I'm going that way. I'll give you a lift. Well, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have picked up three drunks, which I didn't. I wouldn't have picked them up if I don't know drunks. One very drunk, one medium, one okay. It's not too bad. And when they got into the car, one of them said, you're a good boss. We'll look after good bosses. And I thought, that's a strange statement to make. And the one that was least drunk said, stop talking. He said, oh, no, I'm going to keep on talking. He's a good boss. We look after a good boss. And then the third one broke in. He said, look, you're both right. I agree with him. He's a good boss. We look after good bosses. And I agree with you also. We shouldn't talk anymore. So I didn't talk anymore. And dropped them off, they politely thanked me, and that was it. And I thought, you have to read the book to understand the background of Liberia to see why there was a revolution.
All right, Philip, hang on a second. We're in the middle of a really good story, so we want to carry this over. Stay with us, everybody, and we'll get you right back in with Philip and me, Kate Delaney. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder,
What the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success? And why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Right in the middle of this great story.
Alfred, this is definitely going to be a revolution here. And I was doing work for two companies. So I went to sort of the general manager of the place. It's absolutely impossible. All the tribes here are disunited. They can't even agree on anything. Even the people on the estate we're on, the Bassa tribe, they're all disunited. There's no way there can be a revolution. Anyway, I said, okay, fair enough. So I told the two companies I was working for that I think there's going to be a revolution, and politically it wasn't a wise thing to invest. 3 months later, there was a revolution. Where did it come from? It came from the army. All the ranks, all the rank and file, the non-commissioned officers and down were all Liberians. All the officers were Afro-Liberians, American Afros, who had been, because the program was to send all the African slaves back to America. So I got a lot sent back, but I didn't get them all because the opposition from the locals was too great. So it was the army, and you normally expect a general or colonel to run it, to run the revolution. But no, the highest ranking officer, the highest ranking person who was a Liberian, a true Liberian, was a sergeant. So the sergeant overthrew the government. Killed off all the rulers, staked them up on stakes along the seashore where they were all killed. Now, if I hadn't been picking up those drunks, I would never have known this.
Wow. Wow, that is awesome. I love that story. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Pardon?
What do you hope people take away from reading the book?
Well, some of them have read it. I've got friends here that have read, and they said they found it very interesting, most unusual, very unusual. For example, another situation was the terrorists used to come into Chinese farmers, threaten them with death if they didn't give them money and food. So this was a dreadful problem, and the way the government solved it was very clever. They said, from now on you can't grow food. You can only grow cash crops. And this turned out to be a wonderful thing, because instead of being poor, the people started to get money from their cash crops. They didn't have the problem. Then also, they built new villages. Now, beautiful villages with hospitals, medical facilities, schools, and so on. I brought all these people in to these villages at night so that they were safe. And there was big fences and barbed wire fences to keep the terrorists from coming in. So they were safe during the day, because there was no food, and they were safe during the night. Now, the Vietnamese government was so impressed with this, they came down and saw it and thought they would introduce it back up in Vietnam. And when I went up there to see what was happening, because I was going on other visits up to Vietnam for work, I found that instead of keeping terrorists out, their camps there were built to keep the people in, because they didn't trust them. So the result, the final result, was quite different in the two countries, as you can see. Yeah.
Wow.
But I've had a very interesting life, yes.
Right, and would you tell people that, you know, the title of the book is You Can Never Tell, Philip Z, this who we're speaking with, and you can pick up the book on Amazon. Would you tell people that even if you're down or something's happening, because that was kind of your lesson, the $32 in the pocket, just to keep living life?
That's right, yes. I have a theory which I've developed from my experiences that nearly, to me anyway, many things have happened which apparently appear to be bad, unfortunate, and they've always somehow turned out to be, there seems to be some advantage somewhere, and I've gained from it. And it's been really remarkable. Just for example, you think about the terrorists situation. Our bungalow was shot up. Armored car was ambushed and so on. Now, because of that, our tour was 5 years. We had to work 5 years in Malaysia, and you were forbidden to be married. You should get married. Of course, you couldn't get away with that now. And because of the terrorist situation, our tour is reduced to 3 years. So I was able to go on my leave 2 years earlier than normal, and that's when I met my wife. Now, if it hadn't been for the terrorist situation, I'd have been there for 5 years. It wouldn't have been the right timing to have met my wife. I'd been 2 years late. So you've got to just add it. My wife was the same. We took everything in our stride, so we never really worried about what was going on. We treat it as a kind of normal situation.
Yeah. I think there's such great lessons in this book. You Can Never Tell. Philip Z, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's very nice to have invited me. I enjoyed that very much. And I hope people learn a lot from the book.
Wow, so great to have Philip on the show. It's so interesting to me, and that's part of what we do on the show and why we have these stories and these authors, because to me, in his book, when it's what he says, and there's wisdom in that, being 96 years old and saying you can never tell, because you can't tell what's going to happen in life. And that's the point of his story. You can't tell what's going to happen in life. So that took him to all these places where did he think that he was going to end up, you know, ultimately even with sheep and with his family in these scenarios where you're in a rubber plant situation, and then you're in Malaysia, and just the I think the interesting kind of swath that we all take in our life, and he definitely fits that description. And that, I'm sure that's why, as he said to us in the start of this interview, you know, you think tea planter, you think, you know, a rubber plant, you think $32 in his pocket. And can you imagine? And all of us have, well, I shouldn't say all of us, but a lot of us have been there where you're just trying to scrape together a living, and then you find yourself where you got to do something. He ends up having to go to work, and that turns into a huge open door for him. Philip Zeed's book, You Can Never Tell, I think is incredibly powerful. And I know there's like so many of you out there too as well, who if you thought about writing a book, I'm just throwing this out there because that's what happened to me. You hear me talk about Deal Your Own Destiny. I never thought, okay, I'm going to put down these stories that happened to me as a journalist and other things, people I've met and other things that have happened in my life, all the different places that I've lived. I didn't think that I would put a book together about that, but when Forbes approached me, it ended up turning into that. And I think that there's a lot of you out there that even if you don't do a book, journal some things down for your family, right? Just like Philip. I mean, his family tells him you need to put this in a book because he had these fascinating stories, you know, being a pilot, being in Burma, and then where his life led him. You have a fascinating story. I really believe that's true. And this gave me a chance to say that. I think everybody has a story. You just don't think you do sometimes. You think your life isn't that interesting, but if you scratch a few notes out, you'll find that it is. And that's why I say there's power in journaling. And I, luckily, in my life, I just was drawn to that. So even as a kid, although who knows where those journals are, with all my travels, I would journal. I found the power in journaling. I thought it was freeing. And then you could go back and see, oh, remember when I thought this was the worst thing that happened to me? And then look what happened, you know, a year later, and where I'm working and the people I'm meeting and what's going on. And I think that's truly the beauty of his book, because you can never tell. And at 96, I got to say, I mean, I could see myself sitting on a back porch talking to him, because there's probably so many more stories, just like all of us, that he has, that mosaic that's fabulous called life. Which brings me to this. If somebody in your neck of the woods has an incredible story to tell, I'm curious about it. Send it to me at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact and just let it fly, because I know there's stories out there that so many of you have, and I'm interested in a daily salute and some of what people are doing in all the nooks and crannies where you're listening to us. So thanks so much for listening to this version of the show.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.